What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL. Joined as always by my co-host, Jonathan Holder. Jonathan, what's going on, brother?
Man, it is a beautiful day, and I am so glad I get to come in here and talk Falcons football with all of you people and my good buddy. But I'm also super excited because I'm closer and closer to tomorrow when I get to watch the season finale of X-Men 97, and I am super pumped about that.
X-Men 97. I've heard a lot of pretty good things about that. Apparently, Magneto was right, or we should have listened to Magneto. And if that's the case, if we should have listened to Magneto, I don't know. Can't get with it. Can't support the bad guy.
Magneto was right.
No. Nope.
Yeah, but he's not always been a bad guy in the comics now. Come on. Look, get with the times.
No. Magneto's the bad guy. Okay. This is where, like, for me in cinema and storytelling, I am not always the target audience because I like my good guys to be good guys. I like my bad guys to be bad guys. I want the good guy to win and him to get the girl at the end of the day. And
hey. There's nothing wrong with those kind of stories. I like those kind of stories as much as anybody, but I also like some good dark endings with not happy stuff going down. I like that too.
Nah, see, and life's full of enough not happy stuff that I don't need. I don't need it in my make believes, in my escapees. You know.
Yeah, I have just basically. I have been talking about this before, but I've got some eye issues. And also I tend to like, as soon as not that I dislike it. It's just, as soon as I start reading, no matter what it is, as soon as I like sit down and actually start to just try to actively read, I get super tired immediately. Oh, so yeah. I have transitioned from, reading books and even in some cases, audiobooks, though I still try to listen to those as much as possible. But, I've transitioned from those to now like TV shows, especially with how many great TV shows we do currently have. Those are now like my books. And so I watch those over the course of weeks as if I'm reading them. And so I try to get, and I have a very diverse taste in various kinds of stories.
There you go. There ain't nothing wrong with all that. Well,
yep.
Rookie mini camp and OTAs have kicked off, and we've finally heard from some players. So we got a decent amount to talk about. So we might as well just get into it. So, rookie minicamp happened over the weekend, and then comes like this ushers in one of my like favorite times of the year is like we're going to overanalyze every little 30-second clip that we get from from the team as we are there, and it matters, right?
Yeah.
So, and you really get to start to see like the bias that people have. This is something you'll probably hear me talk about quite a bit over the summer or just, from time to time, is you can really tell who has what like agenda they're pushing by the comments they make. Right. Years ago when in 2016, when Matt Ryan threw the interception, to Kyle Shanahan in the end zone, that made the social media rounds. And, and so this, weekend you got a couple, like this is the first time we got to see Michael Penix like suited up in, Falcons uniform and throwing the ball. And I was just immediately like, oh, the Super Bowl incoming, which I find to be hilarious. Now, one thing I will say, from what I could tell in these short videos that we did get from rookie minicamp, he still isn't necessarily throwing across the middle of the field. The catches that were made look like they were like sideline type catches, or like outs and stuff like that, which makes sense. I mean, it would be the area that he's comfortable throwing to right now. But that's the first thing that popped in my head. So what were your thoughts when the few videos of Michael Penix popped up?
Well, so there was the one play that looked like an actual somewhat of a play. Obviously, we didn't have the offensive defensive lines, but it was like a 7-on-7. And I can't remember who he hit, but he hit somebody kind of on a slant where he had to layer the throw over the linebackers in front of the safety. And it was a really, really nice throw. Really, really, good placement. But overall, like it just the zip, you know, the ball coming out of his hands looked really nice. You know, he was, accurate, but I mean, it's drills, so I wouldn't necessarily expect him to be super inaccurate for drills where literally you got nobody else on the field but you and the receiver essentially. But then again, you look at like JJ McCarthy and you see him like missing some of his guys, things like that. And you know, so seeing him hit guys way more often than he doesn't makes me happy, but right. I don't think that's really any super serious indication right now. When he gets into like the full 11 on 11 drills, then maybe we'll see some, some better, maybe we'll see something more to like really sink our teeth into. Mm-hmm. But so far I've liked what I've seen. But I've kind of liked some of the things that I've heard about, him and specifically him, some of the things that he's doing to try to help himself be better, kind of the extra mile stuff that he's doing on top of everything else that's going on, which has got to be having his head swimming, is kind of really exciting to me right now.
To me, that's one of the bigger things that separates like who is going to end up being good and who isn't per se. It's the ones and this like goes with life in general, right? It's the ones who are willing to put in the extra work and willing to go above and beyond, whether it's at your job or whatever. A lot of times we have a mentality nowadays of like, unless you're paying me, I'm not going to do any more that's asked, right? And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. Whatever you do, I'm not critiquing you, but that is a new way of thinking and a new way of approaching work and approaching your craft, whatever it is, because of like non-loyalty from the company down, the employee doesn't have any loyalty going up. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And yeah. So very rarely do you get the above and beyonds anymore, but the above and beyonds is what sets you apart, especially in the sports world. Like in a world where you all have talent, we are all like, you're all decent players. You've made it to the league. You know, that old adage where, the backup basketball player can beat, is like head and shoulders above a normal player, like a gym player, and they would just absolutely destroy him. Same deal here. Yeah. The lowest guy on a NFL roster is better than almost every college player that steps on the field. Like, the ones who make it to the NFL obviously are good, but nonetheless, to see, Penix, to hear him like putting in that extra work already, preparing, shows his level of maturity, and you make the joke that, he ought to be because he's 24. Ha ha ha. But it shows that he's used to having to put in the wrench time and put in the work.
Oh yeah. So a lot of people want to talk about his injuries, right? A lot of the injury concerns about him. Well, he didn't have injuries last couple of years, right? Part of that is not just he got lucky. Is some of it luck? Yeah, absolutely. Because you just never know. But it wasn't just that he got lucky or he was unlucky before, then his luck turned and what have you. Part of it was when he was at Illinois, he was running a lot more. He was doing a lot more running. He was taking a lot more hits. He was putting his body, in harm's way a lot more, which is obviously we see this in college all across the board. This is a very viable way of being quarterback in college football.
Yeah.
I mean, championship winning teams have quarterbacks to do that. So at the end of the day, you can't fault him for it, but we see now that happened. He gets to Washington. He changes how he plays quarterback. He goes from a scrambling running quarterback into a pocket passer and is able to make that transition to preserve his body, to save his body. And that takes work. Like you have to work on changing your instincts, changing like how you view the field. You know, like you have to work on that. That's a hard transition to make. He did it with obvious success.
Right. Exactly. I mean, he was. You could talk about the three wide receivers that got drafted. You could talk about Washington's defense, but one of the major differences of why Washington ended up where it was because of Michael Penix Jr. So you can't argue with that. Tomorrow, the schedule gets released, and the reason why I bring it up early is that we're already kind of getting some comments on it, being heavily rumored that by, you know, Nick is saying here that Pittsburgh and Atlanta week one. Yep. So we'll see how that goes. And Fred Butts with a $2 says he can't wait.
Thank you, Mr. Buck.
For the Steelers game. I don't know. I mean, yes, it'll be the first game back here, you know, for Arthur Smith in Atlanta, but I don't view that as much of a revenge game. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
It'd be
one thing if Arthur Smith was the new head coach.
Right. But he's the OC. So you're not even going, he's just going to be on the sideline. Like, it might be like chuckle worthy if they put up over 30 points. I'm going to laugh just because that would be irony of he couldn't score 30 points all last year. If it is week one and they score 30 points with,
all I can say is if we are playing Pittsburgh, maybe they let TJ Watt just one extra game of rehab from his injury. So we don't have to see him, because when he's on the field, that defense is special. When he's not on that field, that defense is good, but it's not special.
Right. Well, Doc, you hadn't missed much as of yet.
Nope.
We are still getting cranked up. BTW says, what's good, JR and Jonathan? You know, just sitting here chilling.
He was one of the guys that showed up on the weekend stream and talked football with me for a couple hours.
There you go. Hey, man, Anton, Wartime TVs. It's his birthday today. Well, happy birthday, sir.
Happy birthday, sir.
Decided to stop in and hang out with us for a bit.
Yeah.
To your point, Jonathan, Bradley says a lot of guys seem injury prone in college and get coached up on how to better protect themselves in the league. And like I said, or like you were pointing out, the last 2 years, you know, he has not been injury prone. So he has shucked that label. What trade? I think Chris is already trying to trade Michael Penix for a couple first-round picks. He asked me today, or I think it was either today or yesterday, like, how many picks did I think we could get for Michael Penix next year? And I was like, well, no fewer than two, you know, first-rounders. Because you got to at least recoup the one you had. Emmanuel says he's heard it was us versus Cowboys on Monday Night Football Week 1. I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, I haven't heard that either.
But we get the full release tomorrow. As Coach Raheem said today during his presser, the league has done a good job of, you know, making it an event out of, you know, out of just a schedule release.
Yeah, another thing that they've made an event out of.
Right. And I saw some folks on Twitter doing, like, schedule mocks. And I was like, there's no way I'm getting into that. Because the only thing I'm curious about is if we have a bunch of West Coast trips, are they back-to-back, and what week is our bye? That's really the only two things that concern me, because here lately you pretty much know that you're going to have a divisional game, like a chunk of divisional games towards the end of the season, because they've changed it up to where – because folks were sitting their players quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying to create more drama towards the end of the season, which they've done. They've done a really good job of that. Very rarely now does a team have enough wins to where they have something clinched by the end of the season.
Yep. Well, and they did it for years where one of the things they've done for years now is they schedule a lot of early, like very, like maybe sometimes even first 2 weeks of the season, you get a lot of division games. Then you get some in the middle, and then you get almost back-to-back. It seems like every year it's back-to-back division games at the very end of the season.
Yep.
To add, you know, potential, you know, you always, you know, there's always a good chance that you got at least two of those guys that are fighting each other. And so it could be a really, really good game. So
exactly. What's going on, Tony? Glad you're in here.
What's going on, Tony?
All right. So we finally got, like, I don't know if this was the actual first time that Cousins has spoke since the draft. Somebody alluded to that on Twitter, but I was like, I don't have time to fact check that. But I definitely know that this was like the one of the first times he's spoken candidly and has had an interview, like since the draft. And he went on with Will Compton and Taylor Lewan's podcast, Bussin' with the Boys.
Yep.
Which has become a pretty like decent, you know, player podcast that they do some pretty good work. Then between them and then obviously like New Heights with the Kelsey brothers and then the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long. If you like, you know, player podcasts. but some of the quotes that came out of that. Now, Jonathan, you said you got a chance to listen to it. Yeah. Or watch the interview. So I'm going to probably be leaning on you more for that. But Marco Raimondo, the new beat writer, he had some a quick thread on it. And so some of the quotes come out. Cousins says that he has to be a steward, not an owner. I mean, he can't worry about things he can't control. The full quote was, I've just got to steward this and do what I've always done as a player and let the chips fall where they may. And a lot of us were saying that, you know, with the shows leading or like since the draft, as far as like you could pretty much count on Kirk being a professional. And after the shock wears off, whether he was initially pissed off or not, really doesn't matter because the facts start to rise to the top. And the facts being you signed a contract with, you know, 2 years guaranteed money. So, you know, you're going to be the starter for the next 2 years. The contract you signed gave you $100 million guaranteed. So you're getting paid regardless. And this ain't the first time you've been in this situation. So you might as well, you know, buckle up. You know what the team has said. You don't have to look over your shoulder. And as long as you're playing at a decent enough level and like you're not going to have to worry about it. So you can control the things that you can control, right? Which is playing the game you know how to play. And this, like starting yesterday, was the first time you got both Cousins and Penix on the field at the same time. And there's everything looked like you wanted it to look.
Yeah, it looked great. And, you know, when you can read the words, and I did go through that thread first before I watched the interview. You can read the words, but like when you're sitting watching him talk about it, like the body language, the tone in his voice, just the way he's talking about it, it just doesn't come across. Like some people could read that and be like, oh, that seems kind of, you could look into it however you want to look into it. When I watched that interview with him and you sit and watch his body language and hear the tone in his voice and all this other stuff, it seems like a guy that's like, you know, it's the NFL. Like this is, you know, because he likes to deal with reality. And the reality of the situation is, 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles. He talked about how the market wasn't going to be as strong as he would want it to be. That's why he didn't necessarily try to push for a fully guaranteed contract. He just knew, because nobody was going to give it to him. Mm-hmm. And then, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's, wasn't surprised that it happened. But it's also at the same time, you know, when you sit and think about it, like he understands that teams are always looking for that succession plan at quarterback, or they should be anyways, if they're not. That's my words, not his, right? Yeah. But he's like, they're always interested in a succession plan. And they're always trying to do what they can to make the team better. So, like, he just tries to worry about the things he can control, like you said. He doesn't – the things that are out of his control, it does him no good to worry about that. So he's just going to keep doing what he does, which is, you know, play, you know, just go out there and play, you know, to the best of his abilities and let the chips fall where they may, you know. And, you know, he talked about a story when he got when he signed with Michigan State, right? Before he signed, he went and did the tour, you know, talk, you know, did the you know, talk to coaches, recruiting and all this other stuff. They were honest with him and said, like, look, we got like five other guys that we're going to offer a scholarship to. If none of those guys do, then we may offer you one. We're not going to offer you one today.
Exactly.
You know? And so, you know, he goes home, waits for, I think it's like a week, week and a half later or whatever. He gets a call back from them. They said, hey, you know, we'd like to extend you this scholarship. So he realized they went 0-5. He was number six. You know, he was their sixth choice, but he said, okay, he took a day or so to think about it, signed it, come to find out, like, you know, he goes in and like literally the day after he signed and he's ready to commit, he gets a call from the coaches that they're you know, going to maybe put out a scholarship to Nick Foles.
All right.
You know, and so he's like, well, wait a minute. You were, you know, if those guys had, you know, were you, would you have sent me one if you, if one of those guys had said yes, you know, but at the end of the day, like once he got there and him and Foles are there, they're both like, let's just do what, you know, one of us is going to play, one of us is not, but at the end of the day, let's just do the best we can to try to do the best we can for the team. Mm. And he stressed that a lot with the current QB room. Like, let's make sure that, you know, the QB room should be about everybody working to make everybody better for the betterment of the team. You know, so like he just doesn't come off as a guy that is sitting there worried about, or is like pissed at the Atlanta Falcons or is mad at the Atlanta Falcons. Like, it is what it is. You just got to deal with the reality of the situation.
The quote that came out that I thought was like, I don't know if it was the most telling or whatever, but it was the one that stuck with me. It was like, Cousins on if there's beef with the Falcons. Yeah. And like, what was he going to say? Right. Like, yeah, screw those guys, you know, but his answer, I thought, was what you wanted to hear, right? What you expected to hear is like, I don't think there can be, don't think it's helpful. We're trying to win a Super Bowl and it's hard enough. It's hard enough. Let's all be on the same page. Let's try to win a Super Bowl. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, like, there's plenty of times where your work situation may not be what you wanted it to be or what you thought it would be. And you have a choice and it's either, you know, man up and try to get it done or start looking for a different situation, you know, start looking for a different job. That's the choices we have, right? Every player in this game knows that there's a business, that it's a business, and you know the front office has to do what they think is best. You have to do what you think is best. As he said before, you can control what you can control, and handle that. You know, and as far as Michael Penix is concerned, it sounds like, you know, even Raheem said during his press conference that now the onus is on Michael. Yeah. You know, to you know, learn as much as he can learn, and you know, pick up as much as he can pick up. You know, hey, you're here, you're in the building. You know, now it's on you. The onus is on you to either A, prove people right in the sense of, hey, this was a great move. You know, this is a smart move in a age where last year I think you had somewhere like either 56 or 59 QBs take snaps.
I think I heard 61, but
was it like it's somewhere in that either
upper
way,
50s, lower 60s. Right,
upper 50s, lower 60s. And how many teams are in the NFL? Oh, yeah, 32. So your opportunity could come at any point in time. Yep. You know, you come in and you prepare in the as best as you can. To get to Nighthawk's comment earlier, we appreciate that, Nighthawk. He said, did you guys see Johnny Newton require a second foot surgery? Falcons seem to have did the right thing, maybe. And that's probably when that did come up, I saw that and I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, that's probably why they didn't go that route of Johnny Nunes. It's probably why, he slipped a little bit in that deal. Right.
Yep.
One time for the fan, that's old Jack right there. Appreciate you, Jack. He says, sup chat. Remember to hit that like button. That's right.
Absolutely. And
for the folks out there who are interested, Jack, throw in that link for that Rise Up tour. They do a deal where they have like such great access. They go to every road game, like every away game. And in every one of those cities, they put together events and stuff like that for the folks who go on the road to watch the Falcons. Even when they went to London, they put together, big events. So, please drop that link down in the chat. I meant to grab it earlier. Let's see. Oh, heck, I might be able to grab it right now. He says, parties and events, and it's a really good deal especially for the folks who go on the road. And I think there's a flash sale, I think is what I saw earlier today. Didn't mean to derail this for a second, but seeing him pop up.
Hey.
But anyway.
There you go.
There it is. It's in there now. All right. Yes, Bradley says they're right. They have like discounts on hotels. I know that down there in New Orleans, they do a big Falcons meetup, for the New Orleans games. So if that's something that y'all get out there and do, if y'all go to away games or what have you, or if you got like Bradley says, for a Falcons fan in Minnesota, that sounds, or Wisconsin, that sounds awesome. Like if you find yourself in a city, and that we're coming there or that the team is coming there, definitely look those guys up because it'll be totally fun. Let's see. Now, Kenneth, he might be, I think Kenneth is one of our perpetually negative fans. Which is fine, whatever. Like you have your own deal. He says the defense minus Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree to be replaced with prospects is going to be horrible compared to last year. Another 7 and 10 year coming. So let me get this straight. And I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm trying to make sure I understand your statement. You think two guys is the sole reason that we got to 7 wins last year. And without those two guys, we can only hope to get 7 wins. Now, I am, for one, wanted, like, especially if we weren't going to draft a pass rusher high, I would have loved to have seen Bud Dupree come back. Now, he signed with the Chargers either yesterday or the day before Sunday. I can't remember which day. So he signed with the Chargers, and he got a multi-year deal, which probably wasn't going to happen here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so now Calais is still out there. So technically speaking, you could bring Calais back in.
Yeah.
But they seem to have feel like they have can replace that production with guys like James Smith Williams, obviously, Braylon Trice, second year Zach Harrison, Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata, Brandon Dorlis, and Zach Law. You know what I'm saying? They feel like they put an emphasis on the interior, like pressure, the interior of the line, and they seem like they feel like Ebiketie is going to take a next step forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they signed a guy who I was interested in a few years back, which was Bradley and I.
Yep.
Out of Utah. He hasn't necessarily taken off or anything like that. Low risk, high reward kind of deal. He may not even make it much into camp.
Oh, yeah.
But he's an interesting prospect as far as height, weight, speed, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he fits the mold of what they've kind of been looking at, from a draft perspective, from, and even some of the free agents they've tried to go get, he kind of fits that same mold. So.
Right. And so I think the idea that, that we've gotten worse, I don't know if I agree that we've gotten worse. I may agree that it's an even draw, you know? Mm-hmm. But even though, like, team or, like, websites like PFF actually have us, like, getting better than we were last year, which will be interesting to see if that ends up being the case. Now, I'll say this. I think even in his rookie year, I think Braylon Trice could be a 4 to 6 sack guy, you know, in his rookie season, especially with the simulated pressures and stuff like that, that Raheem likes to run. I mean, you got to think last year, Raheem got 9 sacks out of Kobe Turner and Bryan Young.
Yep.
I keep bringing those back up because those were two rookie guys. Now, you're going to tell me, oh, you know, you had Aaron Donald. Yes, you had Aaron Donald. And that does a lot for you to have Aaron Donald. But like VTW saying here, Dupree got over 700 snaps last year and had 6.5 sacks. And Bacchetti had less than 400 and got 6. So they're probably betting on the upside.
Yep.
As far as getting, you know, Ebiketti some more consistent play time. Plus, towards the end of the season, like, Zach Harrison looked really good.
Yeah, you got Zach Harrison. And I'll say this. Like, one of my favorite quotes that I've seen so far came from Braylon Trice. And he, you know, basically, you know, in an interview, he came back, you know, he said, my mindset is it's a dog-eat-dog world. It's a cold world. And you're standing in front of me and my food and my money, and I have to go through you.
Yeah.
That's my mindset. You know, so hearing that, you know, seeing, you know, Rook and, like, his just wholesome, like, excitement.
Oh, yeah. He's just, like, he is a ball of joy.
Yeah.
And like, just, like, excited, like, ferocity, you know?
Yep.
Which I'm excited to see what he brings. Especially, like, I'm excited to see what he brings and why they felt like they needed to trade up to get him. Like, that's still, yeah. I don't think it's a bad move, but it's just the one that intrigues me. Let's see. I'm gonna get Millie, I see your question, and you're going to be the first one I get to when we transition over to the offense. Tony Wright says, starting three, I love this time of year with Tony Wright. Because he always,
yeah, he was doing this on Saturday.
Yeah, he always breaks down things, and I'll do the same kind of stuff like during the week, but like showtime, show night, like my brain is going in a million different directions. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, what do we need to talk about? And I can't always pull this, so I can count on Tony to throw this up there for me. So starting 3-4 D line, D end Harrison, mm-hmm. You know, Zach Harrison. Nose tackle, Onyemata, DN Grady Jarrett. Backups being Graham. Nose tackle, Eddie Goldman, DN Catavia Street. Third string, Brandon Dorless, Zion Loge, and Aurora. Rook. Yeah, Rook as being like the rookies. Now, the interesting thing I want y'all to consider, and want y'all, I haven't dove deep into this yet. So don't like hold me to the meat grinder here. But Michael Hoyt for the Rams, outside linebacker, like 290 pounds.
Ooh.
Right. And as soon as we hired Raheem, I was like, my brain like started like connecting dots. Like, I wonder if you could play Zach Harrison in that same type of role.
You could. He's got the speed.
Right. And so anyway, I think that'll be interesting. I don't know. I'm going to dig deeper into this. I've just really started to dive into the Fangio system that we will be running. If any of y'all follow Cody Alexander on Twitter, if you don't, I suggest that you do. If you don't get on Twitter, go to matchquarters.com. And Cody Alexander, like, really breaks down the Fangio system quite a bit. And I'm one read through in, so I'm still trying to get a better grasp on it before I start really talking about it. But all right, Millie's got a good question for us.
All right.
He says, JR, quick question. What does Rondale Moore do for the offense that Bijan can't? Is there more of a threat to have Bijan in the slot than it is with Moore. All right.
No.
Right. I encourage y'all to go back and watch the video that me and Jonathan did last Thursday. We address that type of situation. Like, if I was, this is my own like fan fiction here. If I was Zach Robinson and my good buddy Raheem Morris just got the coaching job, and me and him been talking, right? He'd been talking before he even got interviews, definitely talking since he got interviews. And he's like, yeah, dog, if I get the job somewhere, you coming with me, right? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'll definitely come with you. As soon as I find out that he gets a job in Atlanta and I take a look at what is currently on the roster, if I'm Zach Robinson, I'm diving into the 2017-2018 Rams tape with what they did with Todd Gurley. And that's something that me and Jonathan spent some time last week and took a look at. We took a look at how the Rams deployed, you know, Todd Gurley. And yes, they moved him out like wide at the back end of stacks and stuff like that, but he was not out of the slot. And more times than not, his reception came on not dump offs, but he would check if there was nobody there for him to block. He was out into the flats as an outlet. And a lot of his yards came that way. And I think that that's how you best use Bijan.
Well, yeah, because if you put Rondell Moore, I'm going to say if we're looking for like the maximum efficiency offense to have the most amount of like legit targets out on the field, you're in 11 personnel. You got Bijan in the backfield. You got your inline tight end as Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. You got Rondell Moore in the slot, and then on either end you've got Drake London and Mooney, and you can move those guys around. You know, Rondell Moore doesn't always have to be in the slot. You can put Drake in the slot. You can do all kinds of different things. But let's say in this scenario you do have Rondell Moore in the slot, and then you got Kyle Pitts as your tight end. So you're likely going to be getting down to like just a simple single linebacker on the field, and you're probably going to have more DBs out there in that scenario. So, for one, that gives you a better chance at the run game. Two, if you do actually go out into a slot, now all of your DBs are going to be covering legit threats. You're going to be probably safety on Pitts. You're going to get your third cornerback that's probably going to be on Moore, and then your number one and number two cornerbacks are going to be on the number one and number two receivers. And so in that scenario, you're left with a linebacker that could cover Bijan if he comes out of the backfield.
Right.
And in 95%+ of the time, I don't think a linebacker can truly stay with, Bijan. Mm-hmm. And that's that. And if you decide to do that, then you're thinking about putting maybe a linebacker or even a safety on Rondell Moore. And a safety or a linebacker probably can't stay with Moore.
No, I think Moore, like I listened to Nate Tice quite a bit, and he called like Rondell basically a running back. And I actually think, and I don't think he's wrong per se, but I think he'll be better utilized in the slot. And I think that's where you're going to see him and get most of his action. And plus, you know, if you do want to do some gadget stuff, like you can probably do some fun stuff with Bijan and Rondell on the field at the same time.
Oh yeah.
All right. So Nick with Willie with the $5. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, Willie.
He says, "Why does the concept of sitting a quarterback for a year or more work? Why don't more teams do it? And would it have benefited Ridder to sit a whole year?" Okay. So that's what teams used to do back in the day. Like you felt like when your quarterback had about, you know, what you felt like was two or three good years left in them, you'd start drafting quarterbacks. Or, you know, you'd draft a quarterback. That all changed, and somebody in chat, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but that all pretty much changed with the 08 draft. Who was the 08 draft? Was Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco.
Yep, and they hit the ground running. That's right. The biggest difference.
Both in both of those teams had bridge quarterbacks in place. Like for us, it was I'm blanking on his name.
Chris Redman?
Redman. That's it. Thank you. Sorry. Absolutely blanking.
I was trying to take a guess there.
It was Redman. Anyway, so they had Redman in place with full intent of playing Redman for a year and letting Ryan sit. And then Ryan hit training camp and just blew him out of the water. Now he's Nick's saying Joey Harrington. Was it Harrington? I thought it was
no. Redman. Harrington was the previous year.
Anyway, and so, but it wasn't just Ryan. Like, it's easier for us to like focus on Ryan because of him being a Falcon. But it was Ryan and Flacco. They both hit the ground running. And from that point on, especially with the change in, if you want to get real technical, the real deal was like the change in the CBA when they put in a rookie wage scale.
Yes.
Because then it became where, all right, you're paying this guy X amount, just you know what you're going to pay him a lot for it. Throw him out there, see if he can do it. Mm-hmm. And, but here lately, with the amount of busts that you have had since the 08 season, and maybe that's something we do one day is sit here and just like look at it. You know what I'm saying? But the amount of busts that you've had since the 08 season, now you're starting to get teams, okay, we got to rethink this. This is the most important position on the field. We got to rethink how we're doing this. Then you got the Green Bay model, the Kansas City model. Mm-hmm. You had Alex Smith. You had just went to an AFC championship game.
Yep.
And you then trade up for a quarterback.
Yep.
But you get Patrick Mahomes.
A lot of people like you go back and watch stuff now. Where people's reactions to the Mahomes pick, like when it happened, it will seem very familiar if you've been watching a lot of reactions to when Michael Penix was picked.
Right.
Like a lot of the exact same reactions.
Right. And exact. And so now you had, then you had Jordan Love, right? Jordan Love gets, did they trade up to get Jordan Love? I'm not 100%.
Yeah, they traded back up into the, or... I think they might have traded up into the end of the first round.
Everybody was expecting them to pick a receiver. And if y'all want to keep score, T. Higgins was in that draft. He got taken top of the second round. So a lot of people thought they were going to take a receiver there. They didn't. They took Jordan Love, and he sat for 3 years. And, you know, you're thinking they're feeling like they went from, you know, Favre to Rodgers to Love, you know. Exactly what BTW is saying right here. So we'll see how that really goes this year, because this year will be like Love started off kind of rough last year, but they settled in and made the playoffs and looked real good. Now you fully expect Love to really take off, right?
Yep.
And if that's the case, if they have success with it, I could easily see more teams going back to that model, especially with the thing that we had talked about a minute ago. Last year, you know, almost 60 quarterbacks played, and there's 32 teams.
Yep.
You know, so it's a backup quarterback is starting to become a premium position, oddly enough to say. Don't you think last year Minnesota, of all teams, would have loved to have, you know, a premium backup quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when Kirk Cousins went down, they could have kept on rolling. Same thing with the Bengals when Joe Burrow went down. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Time will tell whether it is a smart move or not.
Right.
Let's keep on going back and looking. Let's see. Mean Red Machine says, did y'all see the reports that cover the Bears talking about Justin Fields not getting along with Nick Foles and Andy Dalton? I saw that report and kind of like smirked in a sense. Like, I'll say this, it doesn't necessarily surprise me to hear that. I don't know any details other than like the aura that has surrounded Fields in a lot of sense. Like, that doesn't necessarily surprise me.
So I didn't hear. I heard a little bit about the Foles part. The thing that caught me was the and I don't know if this was an ex Bears coach or if it's a current Bears coach or what have you, but it was basically like Bears coach talks about Justin Fields and it's like you can just watch his eyes and you see he sees the whole field, but then he doesn't. He's like, but he's not actually looking at anything. Right. It was a weird thing. It didn't sound good.
Time will tell, right? Like if they go into the summer and if Fields is as great as everybody wants him to be, it shouldn't be tough for him to beat out Russell Wilson. Because everything that you've heard coming out of Denver was they were successful in spite of Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as like the offense and stuff last year. So if Justin Fields is what everybody thinks he can be, he shouldn't have any problem getting on the field, especially in an Arthur Smith run offense where he wants the quarterback to run. Yeah. Like that become plainly obvious with Mariota and Ritter. Like he wants that to be a part of the game. Well, last couple of years, Justin Fields is one of the better, if not the best, running quarterbacks in the league. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, at least like from an outside perspective, outside looking in kind of deal. Let's see. Let's keep going through this. BTW says the best thing for Cousins for us is Cousins comes in and shows out. People will want to see the rookie come in and always want to see the rookie come in and play. Part of me like said, and I know it was like pie in the sky type thinking, like after this interview came out, you know, with the Bussing with the Boys and everything else, I was like, all right, look, let's hopefully now we can. And when I said we can bury this QB controversy, I wasn't talking about the media because the media needs something to talk about.
Yeah.
I was talking about more or less, or my thought process was us as fans, let's not continue to buy into it.
Yeah. Like,
let's not continue to feed something that isn't there. Right. And I know it's our natural instincts are to like look at a train wreck or to argue with somebody who we think is wrong. Right.
Right.
But there's that old adage of don't feed the trolls.
feed the bears, man.
Right. And that's the thing that we have to remind ourselves is I hope now at least the fan base sees that there is no QB controversy. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and what I hope is, you know, every time Kirk, if he has a bad throw or a bad game, let's not start like dogpiling and, you know, calling for penix because there's no point in that.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes every time he steps out on the field. He hasn't been that his whole career. So, but if he can be better than average, you feel like you got a pretty good chance to win this division.
If he is all he needs to be is latter day Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Just be the Kirk Cousins that started the year last year and before his injury was heading towards a race for the MVP. Right. Even the year before that, the last like handful of years, like for the most part, the reason why the reason why they did lose was almost never strictly because of him. It was either the defense would give up stuff at the end of a game or, the defense gave up too much early on. It was just too much to come back from, stuff like that. Not saying he didn't throw picks or he didn't have bad games or anything like that. Yeah, I'm sure he did. But a majority of the time, they weren't losing because of him. So right. if you bring that Kirk Cousins from, say, the last 2-3 years, to Atlanta, and he plays to that caliber, especially the way he was playing last year, if he can play to that kind of caliber again, we're going to go a long ways.
Oh, yeah.
Like, easy. Like, and we would easily have the best quarterback in the division.
Bobby D Blasting Game says, "Hey, what's up, brother? What's up, brother?
What's going on, Bobby D?"
Anyway, says, "Maybe I'm late to the party, but what's going on with Bijan's ankle? Did something happen? I heard Coach Rob mentioned it in his press conference, but didn't elaborate. It didn't sound like it was anything major. It sounded like he just tweaked his ankle. He even said that he should be a good go for the OTAs that take place in June, like the early part of June. So, sounded like it was just more of a, I mean, he's a running back. It's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Not only that, but I mean, you know, who knows what, you know, he may have sprained his ankle playing a little basketball in the off season.
Who knows? No, but you're right. They didn't elaborate on it, but no, he was not there to practice today. Fred with another $2. We appreciate you, Fred.
Appreciate you, Fred.
He says Fields is spoiled. Nothing like being coached. Don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that things are starting to mount and that he needs to do what he can to silence those. And the best way to do that is to outperform, right?
Yep. Well, the best way to do it just for right now is shut up. Just try to do the best you can in whatever situation you find yourself in. And if you get a chance to get back on the field, just do the best you can and shut your mouth.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to.
Let's see. Cheaper, yes. Ben says, Bradley says, Ben thinking the Falcons must really believe in the roster and its ability to win now. Why wouldn't you just trade a fifth for Fields and also draft Penix, you know? Would have been cheaper by far. Cheaper for sure. But
better.
I will say this, and whether you agree with this or not, at the end of the day, the NFL is a business. And Arthur Blank wants a winning product. And the quickest way to get a winning product is to upgrade, like truly upgrade at the position. Now you can make the argument, oh, if they felt like, you know, they felt that strongly about Penix, again, why sign Kirk Cousins, which we've gone through all that. But I think that they believe Kirk Cousins gives them the absolute best opportunity to win now and win next year. And then you get the opportunity to bring, you know, Penix along so that when you do move on from Cousins, Penix is rip-roaring, ready to go, and you don't have to have any drop-off.
Absolutely.
So I think that that's the – whether you agree with that or not, I think that's the mindset, right? That's the model that they're attempting is that, okay, hey, look, we know that, you know, New Orleans, their roster is getting worse. Carolina hasn't necessarily started to put it together yet. And Tampa Bay's roster is aging, you know, especially their defense. So we've already, in a lot of sense, wasted a couple years of a bad NFC South, you know, the past 2 years for sure. Mm-hmm. So can we capitalize on it now? Best way to do that, upgrade at the position. You already saw like those videos where he's getting in work with, you know, with Drake and with Kyle. And that, like watching Drake, that ball get to him in an accurate manner.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they're not having to go back across their body or what have you.
Well, yeah, he already got like a bunch of the guys together, like a lot of the wide receivers and everything, got a bunch of them together, and they went down to Gruden's house apparently,
right?
Because you know everybody talks about, oh, this is the McVay offense. Well, the McVay tree comes off of the Gruden tree,
right?
So like that offense kind of all stems from that. So at the end of the day, they went down and watched a lot of film with Gruden and Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Moody. It did a couple things. One, it got everybody together so they could all watch film, break it down together with a very smart, whatever you think of the guy's attitude, personality, whatever, very smart head coach that has won a lot in this league.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you sit him in there with that. But also, everybody gets together, and now there's things that Kirk knows about Mooney that he didn't know before, and vice versa. Like just by nature of all those guys being together in that close proximity, they're all going to find out things about each other and get to know each other better. And the way Kirk Cousins puts it, he's like, you invest in those people. Like,
that's it.
There's a certain amount of investment you get from them. They're investing in each other in this, you know, in this scenario.
And I'll say it like this too. Like, if you want to think about like, why do the Cousins things now versus, you know, the, oh, go get Fields and Penix, which is not a bad thought, but you've just spent the last 3 years, three first round draft picks investing in a tight end, a running back, and a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to see, you need to know what you got in those guys.
Yep.
Especially a Kyle Pitts. Like, the past 2 years, he's gotten hurt and he's come back from injury with bad QB play. It's really hard to determine what you got right there. You know, in Kyle Pitts, you saw what you thought you had in the rookie season when he went over 1,000 yards, right? Yep. Can he get back to that? Can he be that, you know, that vertical threat? You know, the you know, can he be the Travis Kelce? Can he be the, you know, like major mismatch for our offense? Then you take, you know, Drake London. You need to know what you got in Drake. You know, he, with bad QB play, almost had 1,000 yards last year. Yards ain't everything, but you need to know what you got there, right? Can he have, you know, 1,000 yards with double-digit touchdowns and stuff of that nature? And one of the best ways to figure that out is to go get that veteran quarterback. And that veteran quarterback is going to do exactly what you talked about. Is,
and by veteran quarterback, like, I'm not talking about the Jacoby Brissetts of the world.
No, I'm talking like about
you go and get the the best free agent QB you can get. And in this case, it was Kirk Cousins, who was by far the best one.
Oh, yeah.
And you let him, you know, because he's going to probably pick up on the offense faster than everybody else. And so he's going to know where guys are supposed to be. And he's in a much better position to be able to correct them if they're lined up improperly. You know, he's able to be almost like a coach on the field just so, because of his experience.
Right.
And that's going to help all of the young guys who haven't had that to this point. It will help them to become better pros.
That's it. That's the thing is I don't see a downside of other than money and potentially getting, you know, the best defensive player. When and who knows how that's going to turn out. But other than those two, there's no downside of having Kirk Cousins here.
Yeah.
And, like, we may end up taking this bet, Fred. He says, Kirk will only be here this year. I'll bet money on it. Yeah, I think
if we win the division and make it to the playoffs, regardless of what happens in the playoffs, because that's always a crapshoot, right? Just any given day, right?
Right.
So you win the division and make the playoffs and have a home game in Mercedes-Benz in the playoffs, there is no way in hell that Kirk Cousins is not your starting quarterback next year.
Oh,
no
for
way.
Sure. Yeah.
No
and
way.
And depending on how next year goes, like he may pull it for the you know, the third year. So
this works both ways, right? Yeah. So we've talked about it before. This is a business.
At the end of the day.
As much as we want to talk about loyalty and we want to talk about, and there is some of that will be a part of this, but this is a business first and foremost, and they are in the business of winning games, winning divisions, and winning ultimately Super Bowls. All right. If you go through first 2 years and you win the division first year, get into the playoffs, maybe win a game, maybe not, okay? But you get to the playoffs, and you get that excitement of being in the playoffs in Atlanta for the first time in 7 years. You do that, okay? He's coming back for the second year. If he comes back that second year and you win the division again, but maybe in a more dominant fashion, and you get into the playoffs and now you win that first game, maybe even the second game, and get to the NFC Championship game, I can guarantee you – they're not going to care what Michael Penix feels like. They're not going to care what anybody feels like. They're going to bring Kirk Cousins back for a third year.
Yep.
And they're going to see what's what then. And then if things either they seem like maybe they're stagnating at that point, whatever, then maybe they move on from him. But if the, if we see continued upward mobility in the team and it's with Kirk Cousins at the helm, they've already got him in a 4-year contract.
Yeah.
So if they feel like he's the best option at year three, they're going with it. They're going to go with him. And I have no problems with that. Go with whoever you feel like is the best option.
That's it. Another $2 from Fred, and he says, I just don't trust Kirk in the playoffs. I understand that. I get that. Like, that's a stigma that he has to shake himself. Like,
his stats in the playoffs are not bad.
No.
Like, this feels like a very much a Matt Ryan situation. Like, people were talking Matt Ryan couldn't win in the playoffs for years until he did.
Right. Nick says, what do you do with Heinicke? Cut him.
Cut him.
Seriously.
Peace, man. Appreciate it.
Like, right. You know, because as far as, like, the emergency third quarterback goes, then you could pick anybody else for that. You know, somebody who's a lot cheaper on you.
No, he may not even make it into the roster this year.
Yeah, who knows? I'm with VTW. Says, I think Pitts will benefit the most from Cousins. I expect a breakout season from Pitts. I expect a reemergence from Pitts I expect him to put himself back in the conversation of being, you know, in the upper echelon of tight ends. Myself. So let's see if there's anybody else that has any good. Oh yeah. Millie says, now if the plan goes sour, bye-bye Terry, I guess. Yeah, bye-bye everybody.
Look, if Kirk Cousins doesn't perform year one, he's probably going to come back year two. If he doesn't perform year two, he's gone. Penix is in. Then we see what happens. If Penix comes in after that and then we still kind of flounder around, then, yeah, you're probably looking at cleaning house at that point because neither one of your options did anything.
Right. And, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what got, you know, Smith fired after 3 years. Brad says, might not trust Kirk in the playoffs, but none of us trusted Ritter in a regular season game. That's what I'm talking about. That's inevitably, that's what got Arthur Smith fired. Is, you know, whoever wants to pound the table for Ritter, whatever poor QB play from both Ritter and Heinicke last year is what got, you know, Arthur Smith fired. And we'll be I'm curious to see what he looks like back as an OC again. Is he is he just an OC? So, anybody got anything else?
Oh, I just want to say that, like, the energy that I'm feeling coming from the team from
the vibe.
Exactly. I mean, like, you see like, Morris out there with the guys, not only, you know, teaching and what have you, but he's out there like actually like playing DB when these guys are doing their drills. He's out there, you see him smiling constantly. And he's, it seems like all the players are just like super comfortable with his coaching style. And, you know, what we're seeing from that, you know, we got to see Troy Anderson back out there on the field. That, you know, he looked, I was happy to see him back out on the field.
Yeah.
You know, Nate Landman showing off his country strong, abilities.
And then Drew Dahlman getting highlighted as like the most improved underrated player or something. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Most underappreciated. Undervalued.
Because I'll say this, like he's made leaps and bounds from where he started at.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's great for that wide zone. The fact that they didn't do a ton at O-line makes me think that at least this year that they're going to try to continue with that wide zone style, which is, you know, commonplace and with McVay and with Kevin O'Connell and those guys. So it wouldn't surprise me if they still go that route, but, you know, guys like Drew Dahlman and, you know, Jake Matthews and Chris Lindstrom work really well in space and moving. So it'll be.
But every time I see somebody pop up and, you know, I think we saw some in the chat too, you know, whether it was on draft night when we're streaming for draft night, or whether it was any of our other streams in this offseason, a lot of people are like, you know, we need to get a center. We need to get, you know, this, and I'm like, why? This guy has done nothing but get better and improve since he started. Does he have the occasional bad snap still? Yeah, maybe a little bit more than some other guys, but it wasn't so egregious this past season. Every now and then it would rear its ugly head, maybe at the most inopportune times. But the number of times that it actually happened was way down from the previous year. His pass blocking has improved dramatically. His run blocking has improved dramatically. He does really well getting out on those stretch runs. Like, he does almost everything that you ask of him from a center to do. And he's still young, and he's still improving. And yep. Why am I going to go out and pay a guy a way more than Dalman's going to make right now to come in here? And yeah, we could do that. But then we'd be looking for another center in like another, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. Whereas Dalman, we could maybe be set at center for the next decade.
Well, that's the thing, is like, you know, O linemen age like wine.
Oh yeah.
You know, they take a little longer to get, to get into the groove or whatever. Tony Wright just put up New Orleans draft. Outside of their first round pick, their right tackle Fuaga, Kool-Aid McKinstry, okay. But then Spencer Rattler and Jalen Ford. Yeesh. That's a tough draft. Anyway. John, at the same time, how much of those bad snaps were actually on Ritter's goofy butt?
I mean, maybe. I'd have to look at him again, but you know, he had his share of bad snaps. Like every center, whether it's Jason Kelce, who's probably one of the best centers, if not the best center in the game before he retired, like he has bad snaps. Like everybody has them. So, you know, does he have a few more than somebody like a Kelce? Sure. But it's not so detrimental that it's like we have to replace him. Like, I understand if you were talking about early 2022 Dalman, where it seemed like every, you know, at least two or three times a game, it was a really bad snap.
Oh, yeah. No, yep. I completely agree. He has made his progression.
Damsky was is sees it how I see it too. I trust Damsky when it comes to linemen.
I trust Damsky when he agrees with me. When he doesn't agree with me, he's a crazy Canadian.
He's a bum at that point.
But I'm getting cautiously optimistic with the way everything's headed. I'm excited to see what this offense looks like. I'm excited to see what this defense is going to do as I'm continuing to dig into like the Fangio system. It really seems like it's a fun and interesting system, and I'll be curious to see what tweaks that Jimmy Lake and Raheem, you know, come together on. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us tonight. We appreciate y'all joining us. Excuse me. As always, y'all can follow me on Twitter. I am at Grim1128, GRIMM1128. Jonathan.
At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by and say hi.
That's it. Yep. And I don't know if we'll do anything this week. It just depends on what happens, if anything cool breaks or what have you, but we'll definitely be back live next Tuesday to talk about it.
Yep. I don't know if I'll be live this Saturday. We'll see how it goes, but if not this Saturday, then for sure next Saturday I will pop back up and we'll have a stream. And again, you can come and watch me play some games and we can talk Falcons football if you want to. So
there you go. Last question from VTW says, how do you guys like the other side opposite of AJ Terrell? It's still up in the air. And that's one of the concerns I have currently.
I will say, in Raheem's press conference, he was asked about Clark Phillips. The way he talked about him was very interesting. Like, he really, really likes him, it sounds like. So maybe they didn't go necessarily feel like QB was a priority because of that. I don't know.
Oh, Time will tell. You always like a guy after the fact, right?
Yep. It's like once you're stuck with him, it's like, well,
no, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's
got to build
best guy we got.
That's it. All right, folks, y'all take care. Have a great night. And as always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.